Shut up and sit down.
Our weekly fantasy sports podcast with Jeff Erickson, Tim Benz with you, as always here on Trib Live. Jeff from RotoWire, the best fantasy analyst, best fantasy website in the business as we are approaching playoff time for fantasy leagues. Another couple weeks here, the regular season, depending on how you operate your league. And Jeff, I had a heartbreaker last week in my touchdown heavy league that I have, where the week before I had like 90 points. It was nearly a league record. And this week I was up in the 60s. I was rolling and feeling great about myself. You know, one of the tracking the percentile chance of winning, I was at 98% chance. And then Josh Jacobs happened and that changed everything.
It keeps you humble real quick. Especially considering not only do I not have Jacobs in any of my 20 leagues, that would be bad enough, but no, I aggressively faded him. I told others to fade him. You know, it was one of those, I don't see the upside here. He could lose his job to Zamir White. I mean, it's old takes exposed real fast here. I mean, it was so bad. It's my biggest miss of the year by far.
And you get bonus points in this league for touchdown runs. I think it's over 40 or passes over 50. Bonus points for field goals over 50. I don't know how many leagues you play in like that, but are you opposed to that? Do you endorse that? How do you feel about the big play bonus points?
I think it's fun. I think it's one of those where, I mean, I don't think it's necessary, but why not? I mean, I'm a proponent of, like, if a league thinks it's cool to do that, do that and try it out. See, and, you know, maybe there is a strategy there to try to find some guys that are capable of that. You go get Tyreek Hill a little earlier just because, you know, he could bust one at any given moment there. Jamar Chase, you know. But then again, the best players are typically the best players. I guess it would devalue someone like Zeke Elliott, who he's just not going to get the big plays anymore because he's more of a plotter these days, but he has a role too. That's like the trade-off for having a goal line back is to try to get a guy that gets the big plays.
And I've got Jamal Williams in that league who's helped me out a lot for being just that, the goal line back. Let's get to Zeke, though, because I have a decision to make on him if I should put him back in the lineup. My other back is Eckler.
He's the number one scoring running back in PPR leagues. So you probably don't get to benefit that in your touchdown league as much.
Right.
But in the PPR leagues, those receptions are just gold.
Yes, and I am in a PPR league with him, and he has helped me there. And he's been consistent over the last, I'd say, almost 8 or 9 weeks, whereas there was some up and down peak and valley early, which I wasn't expecting from him, but he has been consistent late and a weapon to have. Now, Zeke, I can put him back in, or I don't know, what are you hearing about Mostert, Jeff?
Mostert's going to play, but, I have a hard time getting behind that.
I'm leaning towards Zeke.
I think you should. I mean, the Steelers ran the ball pretty well against the Colts last week with their third and fourth string running backs. I think Mostert should get, you know, I think Mostert's got a tough matchup against the Niners too. So even if he plays, it's one of the toughest matchups out there. Zeke's got a good matchup. Zeke's going to get the goal line carries. We know that. In your format in particular, I think he's got that extra value.
I'm going up against T. Higgins in one league. I have T. Higgins in one league. He's been funny, Jeff, the last 2 weeks. It's like I get to halftime and I'm thinking to myself, there's no Jamar Chase. Higgins should be doing more. And then he's had two big second halves to really benefit me and now potentially hurt me this week because he's going up against the Chiefs.
That's the beauty of fantasy football, right?
Yeah. You play two leagues.
Yep. Let alone 20. you're gonna get the whipsaw every once in a while. Now, typically, I'm not going up against Justin Jefferson because I have him everywhere. So, that aspect of it hasn't hurt me. And I do try to get the same guys a lot so that I lessen that problem. The problem is when Josh Jacobs goes off, I really feel it. This should be a high-scoring game against the Chiefs. I'm really looking forward to this game. There's already some chatter going between the teams, too. Justin Reed was mouthing off a little bit, and the Bengals were clapping back at him. So we'll see what happens.
So I've got a choice between Jets and Vikings defense, and they play each other. I went with Minnesota. How do you feel what we saw? How close to real is that going to be for the Jets offense moving forward if White's the guy?
Well, it's realer. It's definitely something that it made Garrett Wilson viable. Elijah Moore only had those two catches. One, there are two big catches, one for a touchdown, one a big play. I'd have a hard time starting him still, but I mean, it's clearly they were getting below replacement level production from Zach Wilson. They had to make a change. I think Wilson, I think Mike White's going to run into some issues here and there. I think he probably chose wisely with the Vikes. The Jets defense is really legitimately good. But, you know, it's hard to evaluate Mike White because they're facing the Bears, who are already down Roquan Smith, already down Robert Quinn. And then they lost their best defensive back in the game, too. So Eddie Jackson, who was not going to play this week for the Bears either. So, you know, that's a big loss for them. And, you know, it was one of those things, too, where they're just continually placed on the field because their offense with Trevor Siemian was awful, too.
Here's my biggest concern for the weekend. I'm going up against Nick Chubb against Houston.
Yes, that should be problematic for you there. Houston's run defense is one of the three worst in the league. I think the Chargers might actually be worse on a per carry basis, but everybody runs a ton against Houston. And you want your running backs against Cleveland, their opponent too. So Nick Chubb's going to go crazy. And I think it's a good week for Damian Pierce after the last 2 weeks for such disasters. I think he bounces back this week.
How about Seattle players against the Rams with Donald on the shelf?
Donald on the shelf and Stafford on the shelf and Allen Robinson out for the year and Kupp on the shelf. I mean, it's a shadow. It's a skeleton crew right now for them, and they're kind of beat down. I don't know if Seattle can fully exploit it. I mean, even the Chiefs last week, they scored 26. And they needed a late field goal to get to that, to get their cover. They were, you know, for the longest time, the Rams going to have a sneaky cover there, and at the end the Chiefs got that last field goal, but the Rams still have some pride on defense, so I don't think it'll be like a ticket to the carnival for the Seahawks. But at the same time, I'm not going to be like, whereas with Donald I might have said don't start Kenneth Walker, now just start Kenneth Walker like you normally would.
Meanwhile, back to my touchdown only league, I want to do some compare and contrast for you here and maybe get some lineup suggestions. I've got Pacheco, who, you know, I'm starting to warm up to now that he's getting more carries, and this is such a starved league for running backs. I got a threesome of him, Williams, and Cook going up against a threesome of Singletary, Montgomery, and actually there's only two on that side of the ball. Montgomery and Singletary, they don't scare me. I kind of like myself there when it comes to the running back combination. What about Cook? Cook's been a little hit and miss in the touchdown department this year.
He has, but that's only because they're so good in the passing game.
Yeah.
And Madison has stole a couple of goal line carries.
Yeah, that too.
That's frustrating. I think it's probably a tough matchup for him against the Jets. I don't think he run the ball especially well against the Jets. So you're starting him regardless because you have to. He's Dalvin Cook. He's your first pick. I mean, you're playing him. You're just hoping he gets that one. But yeah, it probably won't be a banner day for him.
How about a couple of tight ends? Njoku and Hayden Hurst. Do you see either of them do anything this week?
Yeah, I love Njoku.
Njoku against the Houston Texans.
Did you see that one-handed catch he made last week to get the game in overtime? Oh, my goodness.
Because
there's not too many tight ends that can do that.
Let me put it this way. Because it's the Texans, I'm even thinking about potentially flexing him instead of playing Pacheco for the Chiefs.
I could see it. I'm curious to see what the game flow is in that one there. Last two times they've met, the Bengals have won, but the Chiefs have jumped off to big leads. And I almost wonder if they put it in the cooler a little too soon. So it'll be interesting to see that. But I think the first game, they had some rushing touchdowns in that one too against Cincy. But Cincy's got DJ Reader back, and that makes a big difference in their run defense. Hurst, though, is your pivot? No, I still think – I think you're still starting Pacheco.
Jeff, what other trends are you seeing? What other personnel moves have you seen this week? How do you find teams getting around fantasy teams? I'm talking about your own potentially getting around some injury attrition. Any players coming back? Like Chase, for instance, is what, next week? Is he the next week return for the Bengals?
It's this week.
Oh, this
probably
week.
This week.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. He was close last week. He's probably going to play this week, maybe not get a full complement of snaps. If he gets 30 snaps, those are going to be passing plays, so I'm still starting him. I think the other thing is the big trend this week is all these running backs that are hurt this week.
Yeah.
Like we have the Jets. We have the Steelers. That's going to be one I'm watching there. We have the Niners that just lost Elijah Mitchell. And Christian McCaffrey is a little bit banged up too. We've got a lot of situations here where we don't know who the starting running backs are going to be. Jacksonville, Travis Etienne had two carries last week, was yucking it up on the sidelines after reportedly was cleared to return, but they didn't want to risk it. There's a lot of running back situations in flux. Like, is Bam Knight going to be the guy for the Jets this week? Or is Michael Carter going to be able to come back? Or are they going to go Ty Johnson? I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty at that position this week.
Do you like Chase enough to say, oh, I don't know, play him in front of Lockett or Pickens? Because I could do that. And this isn't the touchdown only league. This is a yardage and PPR league. It's a tough one, right?
Yeah, I think I love Pickens' matchup this week. I think the Steelers are going to throw and throw and throw a lot more against Atlanta this week because Atlanta can't rush the passer. And I've been liking what I've been seeing out of Pickett. I think he's getting better every week. I think Pickens is his main guy, especially, and it doesn't even matter if it's touchdown only, but if it were touchdown only, even better, because we know Deontay Johnson's not going to get in the end zone.
And if he does, it's going to bounce out of his hands, apparently.
Or he'll run backwards to make sure, because
he'll run beyond the goal line and back to the one or two. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I would start Chase ahead of them, though. Okay. I mean, Chase is such a game breaker. I mean, against the Chiefs last year, remember, he had a monster game against them. I think I'd go Chase ahead of them. I think I'd go Lockett ahead of Pickens, but man, I like them all. I think that's a good problem to have.
Debo's another guy that I can put in the mix, too.
Yeah, and Debo's also kind of problematic these days, too. He's getting fewer reps, and he's been dealing with a hammy. McCaffrey coming over, that cut into some of his work. Some of the plays they dialed up for him, they're just not doing anymore.
Yeah, and we were waiting for that to happen because he was kind of asking for that by the end, wasn't it? Like, he was in that world where he wanted more money because of everything that he did beyond just catching the ball, but then he was also simultaneously talking about not being used so much.
Yeah, well, he got it all. He got the money, and does get a little less work. But the thing is, it does make for a better Niners offense when you have yet another option. Just, it's frustrating for us as fantasy players to not be able to count on those reps. George Kittle, same thing. He's really lost out. One week, you know, the big week Monday night against the Cardinals, but then turn around last week, barely anything. Three weeks ago, barely anything. It's maybe they're not going to run the ball as much with Mitchell out. I mean, I don't know if they trust Jordan Mason or Tyrion Davis Price to do the work that Elijah Mitchell did, and let alone do it successfully.
Jeff, what can people find at RotoWire this week?
We got our updated rankings. We got a lot of good stats. Defense versus position stats are really stabilized now that you can really use that to your advantage. We have a really good chart for that. Can help you out in making those tiebreaker decisions and setting your lineups.
All right, great, Jeff. Enjoy the action this weekend. We'll catch up again next week, okay?
All right, thanks, Tim.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. Make sure you check him out there and check him out weekly here at the Breakfast with Ben's podcast.